Emporia Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Here we are on our second sermon, our second teaching, our second week of our journey through 40 days of prayer. What a great campaign. How many of you enjoyed your group session this week? Really? Amen. Now, let's keep it up. I hope to see you there next week once again. This is awesome. I'm so glad. I've gotten so many messages and heard so many people say, it's amazing how something that may seem so simple, something that's down to the fundamentals, but be so richly blessing our lives. So I'm glad you're enjoying it. I hope you're up to par with it. And if you haven't, then go back and watch online what we've done so far. It's only been 1 week. So I have to admit that, you know, prayer is one of those things that it's too much to cover. When we talk about prayer, as a matter of fact, I actually went on Amazon and put the word prayer and look for books on prayer on Amazon. And you know, Amazon gave me back over 100,000 results. 100,000 or more, at least, books on prayer. That's Amazon. So I said, okay, let's do this a little different. Let's go to Google. I'm not trying to make some commercials here, but Google is the one that most people use. So I Googled. That's a new word, right? I am Googling. So I Googled the word prayer. Guess how many results I got? 746 million. 746 million things on Google about prayer. And included in those, I switched from all. You know how you all go on Google and you search all, whatever comes up with prayer. 746 million. Then I moved to the next tab that says books, okay? And actually videos, I'm sorry. On videos, there was 238 million videos on prayer. Books, 75 million. Articles, 112 million. Now, somebody's out there talking about prayer. There's a lot of talk about prayer. There's a lot to say about prayer. So I'm going to do it all of that in 1 hour here. Sure, of course. But, you know, after 23 years of leading here at church, there's one thing that I've understood about prayer. There's a lot. And prayer is about getting connected to God. We have been wired. We've been wired to pray. Did you know that? I want you to know, you've been wired to pray. So have I. Our Creator designed us so that we may pray. It should be something natural, yet sometimes it seems unnatural. Everybody prays anyway. The Buddhists pray, the Hindus pray, the Muslims pray, Jewish, Christians, you name it. Even the secular people pray. And if you don't believe me, go ahead and punch them in the stomach, and the first thing they say is, oh, Jesus. Oh, my God, that hurt, right? So, you know, that's what I'm talking about. But everybody prays. In different cultures, you see different styles of prayer or different people whom are prayed to or for and all of that. But everybody prays. It's kind of a like an instinct that we have that we kind of call upon something or someone or even ourselves. And you know what? That's what makes us human, that we have this ability that relates to God's image, because we've been made in His image. We were made to be in a relationship with Him, to be able to communicate with Him. This is something special about us. Cows don't pray, at least I don't think they do. You know, horses don't pray, dogs don't pray, but we pray. We have reasoning, we have logic, we have a mind. We have this big thing that you have up front. It's called the frontal lobe that is different from all other creatures that gets us to prayer. We've been made in His image. It's in our DNA that we genetically are made to be able to pray. We've been wired to pray. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, the word says, God has planted eternity in the human heart. God has planted eternity in the human heart. You know what? That kind of gives us a bunch of clues. And we could probably talk about a whole bunch of stuff there, but you have an eternal soul because you're going to last more than just this life. You're going to be going on and on and on and on, hopefully, right, with Jesus, right? It's more than just today. There's much more. We've been made for eternity and with God, eternity with God. And you know, this means then that there should be a natural desire within us that we want to do more, that there's something more, that there's curiosity, spiritual curiosity. We have been wired to naturally pray. And everybody prays at one point in their lives, like I said. The problem is that we are not very good at prayer. Have you noticed that? We are not very good at prayer. You see, majority of people feel inadequate when it comes to prayer. I'm pretty sure that a lot of people say, well, I really don't know how to pray. I don't know. It's like, I don't even know how to pray. I don't know how to say stuff. I don't know. Maybe somebody else should pray. And, you know, I bet you, well, I don't bet. Jesus, hold me. I'm going to pray right now. Jesus, don't allow me to bet. And I could say, I could place a bet right now that most of you, if I say, okay, so-and-so, could you come up here and pray right now for us? You'd be like, backing up. Back up, Pastor, back up. Because not everybody's going to be willing to pray in public, you know. You feel insecure, you feel inadequate, and people, you know, you can hear it. Even at the table, you may be sitting with some friends and say, can you say grace? Can you? I can't do that. Really? Well, you know, there was a survey that was done among Christians. And in this survey, I can't remember how many people were surveyed, but these are some of the words that people used. The question was, give me a word or phrase that describes your prayer life, all right? Or how do you feel about prayer? Most people, these are some of the words that people use the most. Frustrating, clumsy, inept, unsatisfied, confused, misunderstanding, I don't know, it's a mystery, I want to be better, can you help me? Those were some of the phrases that people said. You see, and as a matter of fact, most people that you would meet, most people that I've met through ministry and being in church, won't say that they're a great prayer person. That they're like, oh no, I got prayer down pat, bro. I'm a pro when it comes to prayer. Oh no, prayer is no problem for me. Let me tell you something. I'm a master when it comes to prayer. I've never heard anybody say that. I never heard anybody who describes their prayer life like that. I'm a pro. You should hear me pray. No matter how long you've known the Lord, you see, I'm a world-class prayer man. Wow, really? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. That's not very common that you hear somebody say that. As a matter of fact, I've never heard anybody brag on their prayer skills. You see, because I think we need help in prayer, right? I think we all do. I do. You see, Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray. I want you to take into consideration that Romans chapter 8, verse 26 was written by the man who wrote most of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. And Paul says, we don't know how to pray. You get that? Paul didn't say, Don, you don't know how to pray. Steve, you don't know how to pray. Jay, you don't know how to pray. Keely, you don't know how to pray. He didn't say that. Paul says, we, y'all, and I. All of us. So then we need to go to prayer school. Maybe that's what we need. You know, we have to learn If Paul says this, we have to admit it, that we need to be better at it. I need to be better at knowing how to talk to God. I need to learn the language of prayer. Okay? The language of prayer. Now, you may think, okay, well, let's talk about that for a minute. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, check this out, one of the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Come on, man. These are guys who were walking, sleeping, eating, living with Jesus. And they're like, "Yeah, we don't get this. Please teach us." I wonder why they went to Jesus and asked him to teach them to pray. I'm sorry. You see, Jesus prayed a lot. Morning, evening, day, night, whenever he would be found praying. Now, I want you to take into consideration also that these guys saw Jesus do so many things, perform miracles, heal people, multiply the food, you name it. There were some awesome miracles. But not once the disciples said, "Hey, teach us how to do miracles, bro." They didn't say that. I think that the disciples were finally extremely smart about something. Everything that he's able to perform is rooted in his prayer life. This has got to be it, because he spends so much time in prayer. His prayer is so effective that he's able to do all of this, you know? And for some reason, you know, we understand that for 2,000 years, we've been still trying to learn how to do this. You see, they wanted to learn how to pray. Why? Because they saw him. They saw how it works. They saw that prayer had to do something with everything else that was going on in Jesus' life. So during the 40 days that we've been doing this campaign, actually, the 40 days that we will be doing this campaign, we just started, right? We're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about Jesus' prayer, you know, the model prayer, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." We're going to talk about that prayer too, because that's an amazing prayer. But we'll talk about that later on as we look at the pattern and the model of this prayer. But Paul is saying, we don't know how to pray. But there's another thing I've learned about prayer. Our frustrations with prayer are caused by our misconceptions. There are misconceptions about prayer that we have. That's another problem. There's so many false things that we have believed about prayer, and dumb ideas about prayer, misunderstandings and legends and traditions that we have brought into the prayer life. And then next thing you know, it ain't prayer anymore. It isn't prayer anymore. But let me give you some of those myths about prayer, some of those things that need to be debunked. Number one, prayer is not a magic wand. Don't you wish you had a magic wand? Some of you are looking at some people you like to change. And you've tried a 2x4 and it doesn't work. So you think, maybe I need a magic wand, right? But a magic wand, that's not what prayer is. I mean, Jesus is not a genie in a bottle that you rub and say, "Hey, there you are." And he says, "Tell me what you want. Give me an order. Let me do whatever you tell me." No, you see, he doesn't serve us. We serve him. It's a big difference. You see, prayer is not like secret words and secret codes, secret incantations or things that we say or spells. You would not believe that some believers actually have a style of prayer that is almost like trying to do a spell or chanting stuff that is not necessarily prayer. You know, maybe you look at your husband and you say, "Abracadabra," and you try to change him and it doesn't work, right? Or hocus pocus, something, right? As a matter of fact, did you know where the term hocus pocus comes from? Did you know? It comes from the Latin mass. When people were going to mass in Latin in the Catholic Church, the priests would say these words, "Hoc est corpus meum," which means, you know, the body of Christ. See, this is the body of Christ in Latin, is hocus corpus meum. And the people, I guess the people that were all the way in the back, you know, like Ray over there, weren't hearing very well. And they were like, hocus pocus. Yeah. Hocus pocus, dog, you're a cat. I don't know. But you see, I know that we're playing around with some things here. We need to get serious. But the truth is that sometimes we may not say the words hocus pocus. We may not say abracadabra, but our prayers sure sound like we're trying to make something happen magically. And that's not the way it works. Let me give you another myth of prayer that we need to debunk. Prayer is not a fire extinguisher. Have you ever used a fire extinguisher? When did you use it? Last resort, in the emergency. You know what I'm talking about? Some of us treat prayer as if prayer is a box that says, break the glass in case of emergency. We only go and pray and we only approach God whenever we feel like we are at the end of ourselves or when we have a crisis and all of a sudden we want to pull out the big water hose and douse everything down. Well, I don't pray a lot, but I've just been diagnosed with this illness. Can you pray for me? All of a sudden, the fire extinguisher. Somebody pull out the fire extinguisher for me, or I'll pull it out myself. Well, my husband's about to leave me. Please pray for me. See, the fire extinguisher type of prayer, we only use it in case of emergencies. Or maybe we don't say it like that. But maybe we say, well, brother, all we can do now is pray. Right? That's kind of it's not a bad phrase to use because sometimes the only thing you can do is pray. But don't wait until the only thing that you can do is pray to pray. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So let's talk about another one before we go on. This is just the introduction. Prayer is not a tug of war. Have you ever played tug of war? You know, a group is pulling over here and the other group is pulling over there. Sometimes prayer is like we're playing tug of war with God. And God is on one side. Of course, he only uses his pinky. And here we are, all of us, trying to pull God across the line so that we can get what we want, so that we can win. And we want God to say, okay, I give up, Julio, I'll give you what you want. Okay, it's fine. I'm done, Brandon. I'll give it to you. You see, but that's not how it works. Now, does God want to respond to your prayers? I think he does. I believe very, very strongly that he does. Now, as if I'm going to tell God, here's what you need to do in prayer. Just tell him and 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 tell him as many times as you can. When you probably get to about 92, probably you're moving God. No, you know what? Well, we're going to talk about repetition here. I'm going to repeat some of the things here anyway. But it's not like you're trying to bargain with God. The problem is that we think we can go to God and say, okay, God, here's what we're going to do. Let me tell you what I want. Let me tell you how you can give it to me. We give him instructions and we bargain with him. If you give me this, then I'll do this. How about that? Does that work? It's like a tug of war. We're trying to get them going, right? Now, Jesus told many stories, and these stories are called parables. They all have little messages that sometimes are kind of hidden in there. They might be true stories. They might be just out of the master's imagination, but they all have a message. And you know, there is a story about an old lady who went to the judge and said, come on, judge, I want you to do this for me. Come on, judge. And the judge was like, you know what? This old lady got me tired. So I'm just going to give her what she wants. Here you go. Have it. And some people think that because you bark up the tree, you're finally going to get what you want. Some people think that because you insist in prayer, you're going to get it. But that's not, well, we'll talk about that story of that old lady at another time. And we will, because we're going to cover some of that as we go. But you see, those are some of the wrong ideas about prayer. Let me give you another one. Prayer is not a ritual to relieve your guilt. You see, a lot of times people think about prayer as if it was a ritual, and they go on and on and on and on. And we've been taught that if you sin, you go say this prayer 20 times. Or if you sin, you say this other prayer three more times and repeat that prayer until you either feel forgiven or you think, okay, I've complied, so I must be forgiven. You see, that's not in the Bible. The Bible does not say, go repeat three Hail Marys and go repeat the Lord's Prayer so many times. Never, ever Jesus instructed us to go and repeat this prayer, repeat your prayers so many times so that you can be forgiven. You see, your prayer doesn't give you forgiveness. Forgiveness is only found in the blood of Christ, by his grace and by your faith. Amen? All right, let's go home. Not yet. Let's keep going. See, Jesus taught the contrary. Jesus taught the opposite. See, prayer is not a punishment. Have you ever heard that? Penance? Well, penance. Go pray this prayer so many times. Really? You're going to punish me into talking to God? You hear that? Did you hear that, Adela? A punishment. Go talk to God so many times. You hear that out there? Jesus never told us to go as a punishment. Well, you better go talk to the Father now. Never. That's not a punishment. That's not what prayer does. Prayer is not a ritual so that you can, you know, be absolved from your guilt or whatever. As a matter of fact, Jesus many times said, do not pray the same prayer. Do not repeat your prayers. Do not be repeating words in your prayer and chanting. He said it a few times. So let me show you an example. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, Jesus said, when you pray, do not use meaningless repetitions. Did you hear that? Repetitions become meaningless. Mom, 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 please, mom, please, mom, mom, please, mom. How many of you are parents? How many of you love it when your kids do that? That's when you wish you had that magic wand. Bling, you're gone. Right? No, but you can't do that. But that, can you imagine how God feels sometimes? Do not use meaningless repetitions, thinking that you will be heard for your many words. You won't. Not like that. You see, when you pray in the Sermon on the Mount, it says, don't just pray for the sake of talking, for the sake of praying. Don't do that. You see, this is something that needs to be different. So that's some of the things that we're going to clarify and talk about during these 40 days of prayer, okay? We're going to cover some of that too. Fundamentals of prayer. Let me give you four. Now, let's go. Finally, I'm done with the introduction. So let's do this. Number one, God loves me to talk to him about anything. Now, about what? About anything. Did you hear that? It's important that you know that you can talk to God about anything. As a matter of fact, you will never surprise him with something. There'll be nothing that you can tell him. Be like, what? No. God always knows before you even say it, before you even think it. God loves for me to talk to him about anything. God loves to listen to his children. And it doesn't have to be something super spiritual and religious. It could be about anything. He is interested in you, and whatever is happening to you, whatever is interesting to you, whatever is going on, he wants to hear about that too. Why? Because he loves you. You see, you wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for God's love and mercy over you and me. You see, he wants you to talk about anything to him because, number one, he loves you. And when you love someone, you want to hear them out, right? You want to talk to them. When you love someone, tell me about it. I mean, when you fall in love with somebody, you spend nothing but time talking. And you become a great listener when you love someone, right? So that's the same thing. God loves you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to listen. Now, I want you to understand that sometimes when we talk, I can talk to God about anything. Yes, you can talk to God about anything. You know why? Because God works with that, with your interests, with your desires. God will place desires and interests in your life for you to talk to him about. Now, the problem is sometimes we think that all God is interested in hearing is our interests, that they didn't even come from him. But that's another story for another day. You see, your desires, God places desires in your heart, and he places them there so that you may fulfill them and that you may fulfill them with him, through him, and for him. You see, this is something else. He loves you, he's interested in you, and he wants for you to be interested in him. And not only that, he loves talking to you. Did you understand? Did you get that? I mean, don't you love talking to your children? I mean, think about it. When you become a parent, there is this hidden competition to see if the little child says mama or papa first. Did you guys ever play that game? I know I did. Papa, 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 papa. And mama's over there, no, 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 you say mama, 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 ma. That's what we do. Why is that? We want that connection. We want them to talk to me. Ha, ha, call me first. Right? Because you want them to talk to you. That's what we do. And then all of a sudden, when they're like 4 years old, you're like, please shut up. Right? Stop. Especially when they ask why. Right? But as a parent, you want to hear your children. You want to hear them. You know, if you're bored with praying, it's because maybe what you're telling God is not necessarily what's interesting to you. You're doing it out of whatever motivates you, but it's not interesting, right? But God is interested in what you're saying. Check it out. Psalm 103, verse 13. The Lord is like a father to his children. He's not like. He is a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who reverence him. Now, I know that the author, what he's trying to say is to compare our heavenly father to our earthly fathers. That's why it says like. You see? But this is the thing. Tender, compassion, and you honor. As a parent, you expect your children to honor you as a parent. Yeah, even the Bible says to do that. But you expect them to honor you, but you want to have compassion and love upon them because they do. And even when they don't, you see, when we have our children, that you see, think about it. Even when your children couldn't speak to you a single word, I want you to think about a baby. What's all they do? Eat, spit, poop. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to wait till this child can talk or do something. I can't handle this. No. You won't be so close to that child. You won't be so close, even when they can't even speak to you. And how does it feel when they do? It's just profoundly amazing when you feel like, oh, my God, they're talking to me. We kind of want those conversations with our children. And then when they turn to the teenage years, we long for even more conversations because that's when they're like, who wants to talk to this old guy? Who wants to talk to this nonsense mother or father? They don't know. Right? And we long for that. I'm pretty sure that even some of you who have children who are adults, you enjoy having conversations with them. You love it when they come to you and want to talk to you. You're interested in them. You love them. And I mean, whatever. You love it when they tell you what they're doing in their lives and their interests and what they want to do in the future. Don't you love it? Well, God loves it when you do the same thing too. You see? But sometimes we're like, well, see, the thing is, I don't know how to pray. How many of you felt the first time you ever prayed? I don't know if you ever remember the first time you actually prayed, right? Intentionally. And you were like, you prayed your prayer, and after you were done, you're like, ha, I got this. Yeah, ha, got it. No, you probably felt like, was I right? Did I do it right? Maybe I should do it again. Oh, no, I don't want to mess it up anymore. You know, so you see, maybe your first prayers didn't have much sense in them, but that doesn't matter. God is still interested in listening to you. He wants you to mature. He loves you and everything, but he's interested in you no matter where you're standing right now. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. We can be confident in approaching God, knowing that he listens to us whenever we ask him for anything, according to what? His will. And since we know that he hears us when we make our request, then we can be sure that he will answer us. Are we sure that he's going to answer? I hope we are. See, twice in this verse says that he listens. He listens. He does listen. And you can rest assured that he will listen to you. No matter what you say or how you say it, God will listen to you. We have this confidence. You see, John says, have this confidence. Don't be ashamed. Don't worry. Just speak. You can pray without fear. You can pray without shame. You see, because God loves it when you talk to him. It's a conversation. You see, number two, prayer is a conversation, not a ceremony. Well, actually, that's in number one anyway. It's not a ceremony. Have you ever been to a ceremony where everything goes as planned from the... No, that's not what prayer is. See, prayer is not that. It's a conversation. That means that, you know what? Funny, but when we talk about prayer, we think about conversation. What happens in a conversation? We speak. But what else happens? We listen. A lot of people don't remember that prayer is also about listening. And we just go, God, Heavenly God, oh God, I pray to you, oh God, because you are a loving God and I need you, God. And I understand, God, that I'm just not in the right place right now, God, but I need you to help me with this thing, God, because I'm going to work right now, God, and I don't know what I'm going to find when I get there with my boss, God, but I ask you to help me in Jesus' name, God, amen. And you stand up and you go to work. And God is like, yeah, where did he go? You just get up and walk. And he's probably saying, just stick for a little bit. And maybe if you open the Bible, you'll hear what I got to say about that. Maybe if you just stay there quietly, I'll speak to your heart. All you have to do is listen, right? See, God wants to say stuff to us. Prayer is not a monologue. It's not a discourse. It's not a poem. It's not an essay. All of those can be very boring. But it's a conversation. It's about talking and listening, okay? So let's go to number two, all right. Prayer is a conversation, not a ceremony, but it's also a relationship, not a ritual. It's about a relationship, not a ritual. It's not religion, it's relationship. Once again, I repeat, if you are bored with your prayers, it's because you don't understand the point of prayer. If you don't pray enough because you're not motivated to pray, that means that you need to work on loving God some more. God needs to work on you on loving him some more. If you don't pray enough, if you're not praying habitually and out of love and because you need him and you have this relationship with him, you're just doing it because it's a ritual, because you have to. Especially now that I've been given a book by the pastor that he actually charged me $10 for, and it says that I need to pray every day. And he actually gave me some verses there and gives me a space to write my prayers. So I have to, because it's 40 days, and in 40 days I got to pray 40 times. We can do this, right? Well, if that's the point, then you're missing the point, right? It becomes a heaviness. It becomes a burden. I got to pray because I have to pray. You fall into that trap of not wanting to pray, but having to pray. And that's not what God wants. He is a creator. He's your father. He's your God. And he wants to listen to you. And that should be very surprising and very amazing and leave you in awe that the creator of the universe wants to listen to you personally. It's amazing. Just great. I can talk to him about anything. I can go to him and say, hey, God, you know, I had a bad day today. I don't know what's going on with me. I just don't get it. I need you. And that may be my prayer. And that may be a powerful prayer if it's truly from the heart, when you come to him in need. Now, I can come to him and say, Father of the universe, all creature that moveth, moveth because of you, doeth. And I come before you, before thou. You can say all that stuff. And he's like, hey, look at you, talking all these words, like he's English. He's going to be so happy, so amazing. Oh, my God. You keep going, Billy. I like that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to call you Billy. William. Sir William. Now, I don't think God works that way, you see. I think you come to him and say, okay, here's the deal. I'm having an extremely rough day today. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know that, I mean, you know what to do, so I'm just going to stand here because I don't know. Would that work? It could. If you're wholeheartedly, I mean, that's what you prayed, because that's what's in your heart right now. That's how you felt. It's you. I'll tell you real quick. The day I got the news that my father passed away, I was sitting on the sofa reading a book. Just got done with one of my finals in seminary, and just reading a book with our baby daughter, Valeria, lying on my chest, and I'm just reading a book. And I get a phone call that my dad just passed away. And, of course, the first thing I thought was, great, I have $24 in the bank. That's my life savings. And I have to make it all the way down to Puerto Rico to bury my father, be with my family with $24. And guess who reminded me of that? My wife. David, we only have $24 in the bank. And he said, I know. Pack your bags. We're going home. And I just walked. I was numb, in shock. And I just stood by the window and had a ball cap that I had bought my father for the next trip. I wanted to give him this ball cap. And I had it in my hands, and I just looked at the window. There was a little park. And I just stood there with the ball cap in hand and said, I don't know what you're doing here. I just don't know. And I was quiet, silenced, when all of a sudden I hear a little voice. Well, it wasn't so little. My wife was on her knees, screaming, yelling at God. Oh, here's the thing, God. I'm going to tell you something. The reason why we're here, the reason why we quit on everything we had and everything we were doing in life is to follow you, is to serve you. And here we are, broke as we could be. And you put us in this situation because you're the one that causes all things to happen. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm not getting off my knees until you answer. And of course, I was over there going like, okay, here's when thunder and lightning happens. She was quiet, not moving. About 15 minutes later, she comes in the room and says, hey, God's not speaking to me. And she was angry. And I said, it's okay. Just pack your bags. He knows what he's doing. Needless to say, through the grace of God and the help with some people that we didn't expect and surprises how God does, we made it back home with $1,500 in our pockets. Tickets paid. And then God provided for us to pay all that money back to the people who gave it to us. The people who loaned us money, they got paid. The people who gave it to us, they didn't get paid. It was a gift. But God provided. Honestly, I thought, my wife is crazy to be praying like that. No. She was crazy about her faith and trusting God and knowing that he hears her no matter if she's angry or sad. She was just being herself. And that's what God wants. Let's keep going, because if not, I got 10,000 stories to tell you. Number two, God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. Didn't I just illustrate that to you? I'm telling you, God wants you to pray simply. God wants you to pray sincerely. You don't have to use this language. You don't have to use that other language. You don't have to use these phrases, this Christianese language that people use, right? Right? You don't have to do that. You don't have to make these spiritual sounds that sound glorious to God. You don't have to use the cliches of religion. You don't have to do none of that. You just talk to God. The only condition that God wants in your prayer is that you're sincere and that you believe. That you're sincere, simple, down to the nitty-gritty. It is what it is. You don't have to sound like Shakespeare. You just sound like yourself. You see, you know what I'm talking about. God, we sit at the table, and you know, we joke around. And we say, oh, my God, let's say grace, and they pray for the missionaries and over there in South America and the North Pole, and they pray for everything. And at the end of the prayer, oh, and bless this food, oh, God, amen. Have you ever done that? I'm not asking you if you've heard a prayer like that. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had somebody, like for example, okay, I'm going to ask you, Marco, to pray for me before we start the service. Please pray for me as I'm preaching today. And Marco comes home and starts praying for all that's happening in the world right now. Everything. And then at the end of the prayer, and help our pastor as he preached the word today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Come on, Marco. I ask you to pray for me. Right? But that's the thing. That sometimes, because we feel compelled that if we're going to pray, we have to pray for so much and everything, or use these words, you know? You could sit down at the table, and we hear the typical prayer, God bless the hands that provides and bless the hand that made this food for us. May it be nourishment for our bodies. Is that the way you talk? Is that the way you talk to me or to other people? Do I hear you coming at me and say, hey, pastor, how was that nourishment? Okay. So, no, you come to me and say, how was that grub, bro? How was that po' boy? Oh, my God. Oh, buku good. Right? So where do we get all that stuff that we have to sound in some way or whatever, right? We think that we're going to be listened or something like that. You see, a lot of times we're afraid to pray when we're, you know, with sadness or with anger. You know, you can pray like that. As a matter of fact, when you look at the Psalms, 50 of the 150 Psalms, that means one-third of the Psalms, all Psalms of lament. And they're prayers and songs, you name it. You see, so we need to be better at that. See, sometimes you're in a prayer and somebody starts praying for something and they just keep going and you're thinking over here, when is he going to land? When is he going to land a plane? You know, be plain, be bold, be simple, be sincere. Amen? All right, so let's just keep going here because I'm almost done. Yeah, right. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. When you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I'll tell you the truth. They've received their reward in full. Instead, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Go. Get in your prayer closet. Don't be out there in public. I mean, we're mostly afraid to pray in public. But God calls that being a hypocrite. When we're trying to impress somebody, whether it is God himself or ourselves. And then it continues saying, then your Father who sees what is done in secret, he will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling on and on like pagans. For they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. If you want the nitty-gritty on this whole passage, the one thing, quit the babbling. Don't be a hypocrite. Those two phrases kind of come right out at me. Let's be honest with God. Let's do that, okay? So, I don't know why, because I do this sometimes, okay? I don't know why. But, I mean, I don't know, and I don't know why I do this, but sometimes I catch myself, and I'm like, why do I do this when I'm praying? Father God, I pray to you, Father God, that you be working in this problem, Father God, because you are our Father and our God. And Father God, I pray. And I'm like, if I talk to you like that, Carolina, 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 you'd be like, you know my name. I got you. Right? So why do we do that? I mean, sometimes we have to examine these kind of little things that we do. I mean, there may be nothing wrong with it. I mean, some of these things that we do them because we're in such awe. And so I feel like I'm so little and you're so big that I feel like I have to talk to you like that. Okay, I understand that. But then also, as we mature, we need to understand that it's okay for you to say, God, you know what? This is too much. Can you sit here with me? I just don't know what to do. You know, I'm done. You know, Papa? Forget it. I just don't even know what to say. And some people may believe, how could you approach God like that? Guess what? He's your daddy. He's your father. It's okay. He knows you. If you know him, probably it would change and make you feel different. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us come near to God with a sincere heart and sure faith. Once again, believing and being honest, okay? So let's go to the next one, number 3. God likes to show his grace by answering prayer. Do you believe that? God actually wants to answer prayer. He loves showing, not necessarily just showing himself off like a show-off. He loves to just simply be gracious over us by answering our prayer. God is so awesome. He's so good. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. We say it so many times, right? It's so amazing. Yes, God loves answering our prayer. He's so generous. He's so good. There's more than 20 times in the New Testament that it says, ask and you will receive, right? Search and you will find. Call and it will be open. You see, you don't have because you don't ask. So the Bible tells us in so many ways, ask and it shall be given to you. Ask in my name, Jesus said. The Bible compels us to pray, 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 pray. More than 20 times, just like that, straight up in the New Testament. God shows himself willing, able, and available to answer prayer. And what if you don't get an answer to your prayer, or you think you're not getting an answer to your prayer? Yeah. Do you know any, if you know any, don't mention them, don't look at them. Do you know any parents who give everything and anything their children ask of them? Yeah, that's what I thought. No one. I mean, hopefully. What happens when a parent gives everything and anything a children ask for? They ruin them. Right? You ruin a child if you do that. You spoil them and you ruin them. Right? Yeah. Don't ruin them. Just hold off on some stuff, right? You don't want to ruin your children. Imagine if God gave you everything you asked for. Guess what? You two be ruined. That's why God sometimes doesn't give it to you. Because God is more interested in your character than your comfort. Think about that, right? He's more interested in your character than your comfort. He loves you. You tell your children, you know why I don't give this to you? Because I love you too much. Don't you think God does that to us once in a while? It's like, you know why I'm not going to give it to you? Because I know it won't be good for you. So whenever you pray, you're going to get an answer. The answer may be yes. The answer may be no. The answer may be later. Or the answer may be, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I mean, have you ever told that to your kids? Yeah, of course. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, it says, call on to me and I will answer you. I will show you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. I love that translation. I'm going to show you things that you cannot figure on your own. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. If you, being imperfect and sinful parents, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? He'll give you good things. That's what he does. He is good. He is God. James chapter 4 and verse 2, you do not have because you do not ask. We just got to know what to ask for and how to ask for it. Amen? All right, the last point. God longs to be close to me. He wants to be close to you. That's the reason why God wants us to pray, because he wants to be close to us. He wants you to experience what it is to be close to him. It is his desire to be close to us. Have you ever been on hold on a phone call? Don't you hate it? Please hold. And they're over there having lunch on the other side, or laughing at you, or listening to you while you're over here like, yeah, on hold. These people always put me on hold. And he's over there going like. See, God may put some things on hold on you, but he never puts you on hold. You understand what I'm saying? The connection, that's what I'm talking about. He has a 24-hour answering service, and he answers himself personally. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, the Lord waits for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. And I think we all desire the love and the compassion of God. See, God has so much compassion and love for you that you're still breathing. And the Bible is full of examples that we see that what happens when you have a close relationship with God. You remember Enoch in Genesis? The Bible says that he walked so close, he walked with God that he just. Maybe that's why some of us don't want to get too close to God. Because we don't want to just disappear. Gosh, I don't know. Anyway, I'll show you. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6 says, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. Now, some of these translations that I'm using use a very, very simple and down-to-earth language that sometimes help us see something on our terms down here, right? You see, God is passionate about you. He doesn't want to quit on you. He will never quit on you. You quit on him. I quit on him. Nobody's going to love us like he loves us. And he wants to have a friendship with us. Can you imagine that? Jesus told his disciples in John 15, 15, I don't call you servants. I call you my friends. I call you my friends. You know what that means? We don't just work together, buddy. You're like a brother to me. You can talk to me. What do friends do? Friends relate to each other. They trust one another. That's what God wants to do with you, wants to do with me. You see, the best thing that you can do in your life, and the one thing that you can do to really, 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 really get your life going is to get to know God and to get to know him through his son, Jesus Christ. How can I be closer to God? Well, get with Jesus. Amen? Psalm 25, 14, friendship with God is reserved for those who reverence him. With them, he shares the secrets of his covenant. God will share things with you. He will show you things that you couldn't even imagine. So, the closer I am to God, the less stressed and more blessed I'll be. So we sing, and we can sing that, you know, the more blessed I will be. We can sing, God, I want to be close to you. Father, draw me near. We can sing all that. Bring me to yourself. Draw me to yourself. And that's what we want to do for the next 40 days in this campaign. To get to know him better. To get to know him closely. To get to know him intimately. See, God really likes to talk to you and me. And he's waiting for you to talk to him. God hears our prayers. No matter how simple they are. Actually, he wants them to be simple and sincere. Remember, he said, come to me like little children. God wants to show his grace through answering your prayers, because God longs to be close to you.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.